Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we welcome you to
Love Letters Live. This is a show about love letters, writing them, who we should write them to, when we should write them, and of course the answer Teresa and I always say is to anybody for any reason at any time. Yes, it's a gift. It's a custom designed gift designed by you for one person on this earth, usually. Sometimes we can write them to two or three people at once, separate copies, but and it will never be duplicated. It will never go out of style.
It always fits.
It's a gift that will last not only for a lifetime, but for generations. People will find them later and know something about you. This is your history documented in your hand. And what could be a better treasure to find in 100 years?
Right. So we have another wonderful guest today. In fact, she's been a guest before, and we invited her to come back.
Yes, Nancy Goldberg is back with us with another story and another letter. So, Nancy, I just want to go right to you and talk about, I know we're going to talk about your beautiful grandson.
Yes, one of my favorite subjects. This is a letter that I wrote to my grandson, Adam.
Well, tell us about Adam first.
Well, first of all, Adam just turned 8 last week, and he's very special, not just because he's my grandson, but he has also brought, I would say, to our family something wider, and that is that Adam is autistic,
mm-hmm.
and it's brought with it all the challenges and some of the rewards that families have because autism wreaks havoc on a family. Just as anything unexpected does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, cancer can do it, certainly. If a child who is born with any kind of a disability,
oh, sure.
it wreaks havoc on a family.
It calls for something on your part.
Well, it calls for either coming together or separating. And unfortunately, I know of a lot of families who have separated at this point,
right.
too.
Now, when were you first aware of this after Adam was born?
I would say by the time Adam was a year old, we knew something was wrong.
How did you know?
Well,
I think it might be nice to say so people can learn a little something
well,
about
it. You know, I guess I just sort of take it for granted that almost everybody today hears about autism,
yes.
and, which is a broad spectrum disorder, because it affects one in every 150 children who are born. I think it's about one in every 95 boys, 94, one in every 94 are boys. And in New Jersey, as a matter of fact, when I was advocating on this last year in Washington, the number was like one in every 90.
Mm-hmm.
It was less. And they still don't know what causes this here. All I know is that with Adam, it's a lack of social interaction that he experienced. With some children, they never have that social interaction, or it's very rare. They have speech problems,
mm-hmm.
where many can't speak. I mean, there are all gradations.
That's right. There's
this.
A large continuum.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and you know, fortunately today people recognize this, and there are camps, there are schools, there are special situations to see. I mean, one of the worst things in the world is not to have friendships.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
And you know, when there are ways to get these kids together and they can become socialized, it's really a wonderful thing.
Talk a little bit about your son and your family.
Okay,
And how, you know, how they rose to this and what they did,
okay,
so we can know.
My son and daughter-in-law, my son's name is Jonathan, and my daughter-in-law's name is Angela, and I love them. I just, you know, they're two of my prized parts of my heart.
Yes.
I just love them. Anyway, they had this wonderful baby, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam has was born, from the moment he was born, he was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Absolutely beautiful.
Oh, I see the picture you brought in. He's exquisite.
Yeah, he's really
angel.
He's lovely.
Yeah. Handsome angel.
And, you know, people, when I said before that people don't know, let me tell you another thing about my family. My brother was schizophrenic. My brother, who passed away last year, was schizophrenic. Now, autism is not schizophrenia. But when a lot of people have seen the movie Rain Man,
mm-hmm.
and when I saw Rain Man, and he is autistic in this, Dustin Hoffman
right.
plays someone autistic. But when I saw the movie, I thought to myself, my God, this is way before Adam was born.
Mm-hmm.
My God, he seems to be schizophrenic. And I started to wonder if there were any connection between the two, because there were so many similarities. Well, you know, I don't think that there is. I mm-hmm. just think that with some mental disabilities, there are overlaps
sure.
with everything. With Adam, to go bounce back and forth,
mm-hmm.
It was when Adam was about 6 months old and has had his shots. That night, he went into the hospital.
With
he just wasn't right, and my kids were very concerned, and they took him right into the emergency room.
I mean, was he conscious? Or
oh yeah, he was conscious, but there was a big change in his personality, and there were lots of things. When people say, is it the shots that caused this? For me, anecdotally, it seemed to, but whether the shots already triggered something, I just don't know. But,
or that would be the day that it showed anyway, and the...
Just coincidental.
Uh-huh.
It could
it's
be coincidental.
It's hard to know. Yes.
It's very hard to know. And the NIH is certainly studying this, and there are signs now that perhaps there has been some linkage, but they've never really known. So it's a big mystery.
So what happened from that hospital visit on?
Adam started to change. He started to withdraw.
Mm.
And... I would take care of him often because Angela was still working at that time. She had a big, big job, and she was working, and there was a trying to get the right person to stay with him during the day, and when that person couldn't come or when the person would quit or whatever it was, I would of course take over, and I got to hold him
mm-hmm.
and feed him, and you know, it was just very much to my great pleasure.
I know. See, this is one of those television moments, that smile on your face. Go ahead.
It's just one of those things. It just is a great pleasure where, you know, you can just have your grandbaby all to yourself and no parental interference, mm-hmm. and you get to feed him and
your
hug
baby
him.
For the day.
Exactly.
Yes, my baby for a day, and I could tell him how much I loved him every second without...
Yeah. Was he responsive to you?
He was responsive to me. I mean, not always, but he was responsive to me, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. But around the time of his first birthday, we started to notice things. He had a woman who was like his nanny who would come in every day, and she had a child and who was about Adam's age, a little bit younger, and they would play together, except they wouldn't play together. Adam was removed, just removed. I also noticed other things. I had a silver bracelet that was all beaded, and it was on elastic. And one of my favorite bracelets, and of which I have many. And Adam would take those beads and would play with them for minutes and minutes at a time. I mean, like 20 minutes.
Just entranced by them. Like,
entranced by them. You know, take them, pull it away,
mm-hmm.
look at it, put it back, take it away. And I thought, what a genius.
He's seeing something.
He's just so interested. Then he had another lamp that would spin around a lot, and he would spend hours looking at that. When I say hours, I'm exaggerating. You know, long periods of time. And I thought, yep, definitely, he's a genius. He just wants to know what makes that work. What makes these silver beads spin on this elastic?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? And little did I know, it was called perseveration. I mean, he couldn't. You know, he just.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that any of you who are experts out there who are listening to this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I'm not giving the right the right explanation.
Well, as best as you understand it.
It's being fascinated by certain objects, and always drawn to them to the exclusion of everything else. And also with kids who are on the spectrum, they are fascinated by spinning objects.
Isn't that interesting?
And which would make me dizzy.
Uh-huh. Now, so what about speech and motor?
Speech didn't come. Motor skills didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
The motor skills were very late. And so the pediatrician told Angela that she should really go to a pediatric physical therapist, which we did out in the avenues. And she was terrific.
Oh.
And she was the first one who said he probably has a pervasive development disorder. Give it time, see what happens. And with autism, they really can't diagnose it till a little bit later. He was about a year and a half at that time, and he wasn't walking. Now, I have a daughter who was 17 months old before she really started to walk. So I didn't think that much of it.
Uh-huh.
I used to kid around that my daughter, Lori, was born with a driver's license. And
when
she came out, she had a driver's license. And she's still not walking. She drives everywhere and gives it to valet park in Los Angeles. But Adam wasn't doing that. He would sort of say mommy and mama, dada, but not much. He didn't point at things, which is another thing that kids with autism don't do. He didn't point.
Uh-huh.
He would sort of grunt. But there was something else that was happening that, to me personally, was fascinating. I would read to him. He was obsessed with this book, Goodnight Moon. Obsessed with it. And I would read it to him. Now, and he would go, and he would grunt, and he would go back and want me to read a page. One day, I purposely changed the page, Goodnight Mush. And he was very upset about that.
Oh.
And he turned back, and he pointed to the bowl of mush, and he wanted me to read that. And I thought, am I crazy, or is this kid really reading? I thought, no, this is like everything else I'm doing with it.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying that he has got these incredible gifts.
Well, that's often true.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen Adam hold a book upside down more than once. Well, he was finally diagnosed, but by 2 years old, he started to speak. He was,
oh, good.
He went through Easter Seals. He was taking a lot of speech therapy. We told my, I started to read about it, because you can Google anything.
Well, right.
Be careful, folks, when you Google anything, because you will get up anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I also got up other stuff, from legitimate autism groups, and I thought, oh, holy smoke, this sounds exactly like Adam. And the more I read it, the more I saw it. So I went.
Did you talk to your children about it? Is that how?
Sort of. I mean, they were going through their own private hell.
Mm-hmm.
And their personalities were changing. And it was just a horrible, horrible period of time. I was sort of gearing up, and I talked to my daughter's mom, whose name is Nell, who lives in Abilene, Texas. She's phenomenal. I love this woman. And I talked to her about it a little bit. I mean, we both recognized that something was clearly not right.
Mm-hmm.
Large groups of people, he would have temper tantrums, or he would get very upset, and he would start crying.
Like overwhelmed.
Overwhelming.
Of, yeah.
And I'm not doing this in the right sequence. But
it's okay.
By the time he was a year and a half, we really suspected that things were happening. And he started to get up, and he was starting to walk. I also read something in the New York Times that because children were put to sleep on their backs a lot, that they didn't roll over onto their stomachs, like my kids went to sleep on their stomachs. And I showed it to Angela, and I said, look, we're worried because he doesn't flip over and he doesn't do certain things, physical things, but look at this. It says that, they don't always do this. So finally, at around 2 years old, he went to a pediatric neurologist, and he got diagnosed. And from the diagnosis, I mean, it's such a broad spectrum. Adam is very high functioning.
It's wonderful.
He was already at 2 years old. As I said, he was reading, but he was also starting to pick out colors. And he was also starting to be interested in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And there are programs for kids at that age. And so insurance and all the things that are available kick in, and you're able to you're able to give your kids, you know.
So from here on in, I would guess that it's a matter of just making the best, you know, polishing the best in Adam.
Well,
and pulling together.
Well, we all have pulled together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for sure. And as you go along, and you see that a lot of families don't tell their parents. I mean, grandparents can play a big role in this.
Oh, good
culturally,
point.
Mm-hmm. Culturally, this is not looked upon as something favorable, just as a lot of mental illness isn't,
mm-hmm.
or that he's not mentally ill.
Right.
You know,
yes,
mental,
right.
You know, things that are a neurological disorder,
right.
or that are a mental disorder of some kind. But it can be destructive, or it can bring people together. And there is something about it that's, you know, it takes a time of mourning. You have to go through it before you can come
mm-hmm.
out the other end.
I see, yeah.
And Adam, thanks to Angela and Johnny, have been phenomenal parents. And my daughter-in-law, who's the one who spends the bulk of the time with
yes.
Adam, has just dedicated herself to this. She stopped working and has just dedicated herself to being aware, to being, you know, in different groups. She's learned how to do some advocacy. She's amazing. She's just amazing, and she's wonderful. And, you know, a lot of marriages fall apart
yes.
during this.
Yes, a lot of marriages fall apart under any kind of stress with
exactly.
children.
It's a
sad thing, yes.
And the fear of having another child like this
sure.
can't be diminished.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, there are other children
yes.
who were born. And Adam is in a public school.
Oh, I was going to ask. Okay.
He has an aide. Last year was sort of a disaster in the public school situation. And we've looked at private schools, but sometimes they have too many boys that they've already taken in, so they don't want to take
mm-hmm.
boys in right now. But he's there with an aide. His aide for this year will be a man, and it sounds promising, and so we're going to go through
oh,
it,
good.
And we're right on top of it if
nice.
It isn't.
And then he's got you.
He's
that's,
got
that's
us, and the most important thing is he belongs to a group called Angels, and Angels is a wonderful integrated group.
He looks like one in his picture. That's
yeah, yeah he does look like
that's
one.
The first thing
he?
I thought. Yes, go ahead.
It's an integrated play group with kids who are on the spectrum and kids who aren't,
oh.
and he's developed friendships. He went to a gifted camp for kids through UC Berkeley, a camp for gifted kids,
mm-hmm.
UC Berkeley that was in Point Richmond, and that has done a lot.
Wonderful.
He has an aide by the name of Sarah Hausman, who is just wonderful. He just went to her wedding and walked
oh,
down the aisle
oh,
in
nice.
His cowboy boots, and he has a lot of wonderful people. You know, too numerous
yes.
to mention.
But now we're talking to the grandma, so.
You are.
Do you want to?
I'll just quickly remind our listeners that this is Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time, and station, and hope you'll join us.
Thank you. So to get back to you, the grandma of this beautiful boy, so you were in love with him from the start.
Sure.
Obviously. And you wrote something to him.
Right.
At his 1 year
I wrote
birthday?
Him a poem at his, and I've been writing him poems every year.
Oh, will you read it to us?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Now, this poem had a lot of pictures with it. So I had a little booklet made up with
oh.
pictures and everything else. So there were photographs, and this is to Adam. And this is not my love letter to him, but it's sort of like one. Adam McFadden begat him, my gaddam. We're so glad that his parents had him, our Adam by gaddam. Today, our Adam turns one, by gum, and he is the best boy. He is our grandson. This special year has brought us all cheer, and so much has happened since Adam's been here. In October, Natch, it was the pumpkin patch, with big orange pumpkins way up to the sky, enough to make the world's largest pumpkin pie. In December, Adam's holidays are two. There's Christmas, and there's Hanukkah, too. At Easter and Passover time, there are hard-boiled eggs and kosher wine.
Mm-hmm.
In that lone star state of Texas, I reckon, live Grandma Nell and Grandpa Frank, saying, "Adam, come visit," we beckon, and Auntie Lynn and Uncle Doug all waiting their turn to give Adam a hug. And there are more who love him. There he did see. There is his Uncle Steve and Dylan, Aunt Haley. From San Francisco to Texas, Adam sees a fandangle and longhorn cows who one day he'll wrangle. So many things make Adam special, like that sweet little head that gets all snuggled up, all cozy and comfy, like a cute little pup. And that brown hair so bouncy and curly, and those big blue eyes that make our hearts hurly-burly and tumbled around is just the bestest feeling that we ever found. And when he screams that big Adam scream, we laugh and we laugh as if we had seen a big green giraffe. Grammy and Grampy love watching Adam grow. We watch as he gets bigger, each finger and toe. And the other day, as I fed you your noodles, I thought to myself, "I love you, my doodles. I love you oodles and boodles and even canoodles. And what can I say to show it to yoodles?" And no matter where you go, no matter how far, no matter how old, and no matter when from this world or above, you'll always be surrounded by our love. Happy birthday, Adam.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow. And this talks about how appropriate it is to write letters to children, which Teresa and I encourage and talk about. Will you go right into read the other one now? Because do we have time for...
Yes.
Oh, good. Because I want you to read the one now that's meant for him as an older boy. And I want to say that he'll have this forever. Long after you're gone, when we are no longer here, the three of us, Adam will have these to look at and know who they're from.
Thanks. I just wrote this. It was just at the end of Adam's eighth birthday. My darling grandson, there are things that happen to people that are so remarkable. Your being born as my grandson is one of the wondrous events to me, and I just want to tell you a little bit about that. My mom, who was your great-grandmother, was a wonderful woman. She was loved by so many people, and I loved her very much. Her name was Sylvia. As she got old, great-grandma Sylvia got sick, and then she died. I was so sad, and I cried a lot. Lots of people wrote me notes and sent contributions to things in her memory. And one afternoon, I was writing notes to all of the people who were so nice to do that. I remember that afternoon. I never will forget it. It was just after Thanksgiving, and it was the winter time. So I was writing the notes with my warmest robe on, and the Kleenex that I was using for my tears was all over. It was your dad, and then the phone rang, and do you know who it was? It was your daddy. He had something to tell me. He said that he and your mommy were going to have a baby. A baby, can you imagine that? And what that meant to me, it meant that there would be a new life, a grandchild. It was about your life, Adam. I was so excited. I cried and I laughed and I cried some more and used more Kleenex. Then, exactly 8 years ago, you were born. My Adam, my grandson. You make so many people so happy. Grandpa Larry, Grandma Nell, Grandpa Frank, Grandpa Stephen, Aunt Lori, Aunt Lynn, Uncle Doug, Uncle Steve, and most especially, your mommy and daddy. I remember all that you have brought to us every day. Every day I think how much I have learned because you are in the world, and every day my love for you grows. I also love your daddy and mommy more all the time. They are amazing people. Your daddy is my son, and I adore him. And your mommy has become one of the closest friends I have. I love her as if she were my own child. There are many things about you that are different and special. And one of these days, you'll understand them in a way that is difficult for a little boy to do at your age. Ever since you have been 1 year old, I have written funny poems to you, which are a small way to say that I love you. Saying I love you comes in silly and serious ways, but it all means the same thing from me to you. With all the love you have in your life, you are going to grow up to be a strong and extraordinary man. My prayer is that I will be there for all the things that will happen for you for many, many years. I also hope you know that you can talk to me about anything you want, whether it's a happy thing or a sad thing. I am here to be your loving grandmother, always. Nodi. He calls me Nodi.
That is just wonderful.
Beautiful.
So that's my Adam.
And you sent that. How do you deliver this?
I haven't delivered it to him yet. He's away at a special camp right now in Aspen.
But you'll mail it to him in Kansas?
I might mail it to him.
There's something special about getting a gift in the mail, I think.
Well, he'll be home, so maybe I'll mail it to his house so that it'll be there when he gets home. Mm-hmm. And he, one thing I neglected to say, my son who speaks fluent Chinese and reads it and writes it has taught a lot of it to Adam. So Adam reads and writes a lot of Chinese.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
And speaks it.
Yeah. Where are those other... those other seven letters and poems that you have sent? You have them?
I have them.
Do you have a treasure box or something for him?
I have it in a file. Well, I think Angela's probably keeping them, but I never thought about doing it. But Angela probably has them. And I was looking at all of them last night. I can't find his two-year-old one.
Oh, maybe.
So probably she has it. Or it's on my computer under, I made a file for Adam. So, I don't know.
Would it be nice to take all those and buy a beautiful box?
Yes.
And I know they have stationery stores. There's one on Polk Street called Russian Hill Bookstore, and they've got the most gorgeous boxes. And for him to have all his life.
Yeah, and he
in one
reads
place.
So well.
But I wondered if he goes back and reads them again.
I don't know. I have to ask her. Uh-huh. I really have to ask her. But she's... You know, it's just become something that I've done, and I know that Angela and Johnny both look forward to it, too. And
so they're kept. You know that they're kept.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm lucky that he lives right in Fairfax.
Uh-huh.
And
really close by.
So
but if it were his special box, maybe something beaded or something that
I think it would be wonderful.
Grab his eye.
Yeah.
So, okay. So thank you so much for
thank you for letting me do this
story,
and it's really great. I mean, I wish I hope I'm not too discombobulated when I talk about it, but there's so much to get in.
Of course, and it's a lifetime in half an hour, which is hard to do, but impossible, of course.
Right.
But to talk about what a grandmother can bring and grandmother love, and that
it plays a big role in this.
Yeah,
plays a big role in every grandchild's life, and especially in this.
And the strength you give your children.
I hope so.
Through loving
their
son.
And so does Angela's mom bring a lot of strength, even though she's in Abilene.
Yeah.
You know, a phone call from her and she comes out as much as she can.
Family love does a lot.
Yeah. Yes,
so
it does.
This is just such a perfect indication of what we always say, that is, if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, please remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
Well, you don't know when that special occasion might pass you by and you won't be there to do it.
That's such a
word to hang on the wall.
That's what Therese always says. Say what you feel while you still have the chance.
Totally,
and that
means agree that
while
agree
you're here.
That has gotten me into more trouble and into more wonderful situations than I can tell you.
Yes.
Oh, so it's Thank you
well,
for letting me
and a great
you.
Reminder to others, listeners who may be grandparents, to write those letters
to your grandchildren. Write to babies. They won't be babies forever.
And not just about what you did this week, but about them and how important they are in your life.
Because we say that a love letter, a real love letter, is about the other guy. Basically, what that other person brings to you or has brought or promises. Yes.
Thank you. This is a great opportunity. I really appreciate it.
So, to our listeners, please join us every week at this time. And you can also visit our website where you can catch past programs. Yes. You can send us email.
Or if you have anything to say to Nancy, you can send it to us and we'll forward it to her.
Right. And we'll look forward to your comments.
Yes.
So, Janet, just time to remind everyone again to... write those love letters while you still have the chance?
Yes, and put your best self on paper. It will be good for generations. And you know, whenever you hear about some real find, some historical find, something truly important, it's so often letters that have been found, letters in a person's own handwriting.
Right.
Every computer has Chicago and Lucida Bright. Nobody has your handwriting. Whether it's gorgeous or not gorgeous, it's yours,
right.
And it says something.
So till next week, with love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.